Okay.
Hey.
Hey.
Welcome.
Welcome to Climb Hard, Love Harder podcast.
I'm Dean.
I'm Eric. And we are about to jump in the sauna. And it has been a miserable winter. Ice climbing season was just the pits.
Yeah.
And we're just going to go get warmed up a little bit. Shake off some of the winter doldrums.
And it's sauna for any of you Finlanders out there. Because I'm sure we have a lot of Finlander Finnish listeners.
All you Finnish listeners, enjoy this podcast.
Yes.
Welcome to Climb Hard, Love Harder podcast. I am Eric,
and I'm Dean,
and we have Betsy Binnish here on the show. And Betsy, you introduce yourself in just a second, but a couple of things I know about Betsy. Not only is she like the social media coordinator, awesome person. Awesome. Did I say that right, Betsy?
Yeah, that's my official title.
Excellent. But she's also a super rad climber, an amazing mother, an awesome wife. I've watched you with your husband and your kids. It's amazing.
Yep, agree.
And just what you do in your community of other climbers and the landing pad you create of welcome and hospitality. I definitely want to touch on that this evening as well. Sure. So anyway, that's what I know. Why don't you introduce yourself, Betsy?
Well, I'm Betsy. And I think you described all the main aspects of me. I'm a climber, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, wear a lot of hats, and kind of like you described, one of my favorite things to do is making people feel welcome in my home, and especially in the climbing community. That's a passion of Justin and I, and yeah, I just have a really cool life.
Is there any like particular way that you make people feel welcome that you think is like, this is a big deal, super simple, why isn't everybody doing it?
The reason I think that we are so successful in what we do is because we have this motto, everyone is welcome in our home, regardless of what you look like, what you believe, who you love, you're welcome in our home, because we want people to come in our home and experience what it is to experience just being loved by Christ, that unconditional love. And when people come into our house and they know that we just want to love you and feed you, food's a big part of it too.
It's weird. Isn't that true?
Yeah. It just creates this beautiful, beautiful community. And I think people knowing that, one, we're going to be consistent, we're going to be there. Two, our door is always open. And three, we just want to love you for who you are and just be a part of your life and your journey.
Yeah. That can take you to some strange places, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Places we're not allowed to go. Hey, I have a question.
Yeah.
By the way, if anybody hears chomping or like clinking of dishes and stuff, that's because Dean and I are having a bite to eat. And a beverage while we're visiting with Betsy here.
Betsy, and where are you from? Where do you live?
Where do you live?
Oh, yes. I live in West Michigan, Holland, to be specific. Probably one of the most flattest parts of the country.
Oh, it's real. The struggle is real.
Yeah, I mean, we're gym rats. We love gyms, but we love traveling. We love like grabbing our closest friends and driving, 8 hours to the red. It's great.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Bad for driving.
And I think you were going to ask her a question.
I was going to ask a question. It's like, you talked about hospitality and everything. I was going to ask about like, is there a limit to how far love goes? Like, what are the boundaries of love? Like, what are the limits on love and loving others? What are the limits? What are the boundaries on that?
When we love people, we just follow what the Bible says. Love is patient, it's kind, it's gentle. And I guess for us, that's our limits. And I don't know that there is really there a limit that you can place on it. Boundaries. Yeah. Boundaries are extremely important. We don't necessarily put limit, but we do put boundaries because you do have dynamics and stuff like that where you do have to have healthy boundaries, especially being parents as well.
Right. And like, you don't want people like wandering through and like taking your dishes.
Yeah, exactly. and you know,
I have to be careful that people have complained about how loud I'm laughing.
Oh yeah.
But there's always complaints.
I'm going to start giggling.
There's always complainers. No. There's always complainers.
Everywhere.
We're complaining about complainers.
We're complaining about complainers.
Somebody has
so to complain about. I've kind of come to the conclusion that there's, as much as it would be advantageous and like helpful in like navigating the world, I've discovered that, and there might be limits on my love, like, because I just can't be everything, you know, I can't be everywhere, all the things and blah, blah, blah. I don't think there are any limits on God's love. It is divinely limitless. And boy, let me tell you, that's kind of an unwelcome thing. Mm-hmm. That doesn't fit the rules.
Yeah. And, you know, we've experienced that sometimes where some people do struggle to understand, you know, how we do things or our methods. But, you know, for myself, I just look at the way like Jesus loved people, especially hurting people. Broken people. And when I think about like the kindness and the gentleness and the tenderness of Christ, it's just, I want people to see that when they experience me, my home, my family. And like I said, boundaries are important. You know, I'm not saying throw boundaries out the window. We have very good.
Yeah.
You know,
I heard you limiting to only people that are hurting or broken. So that's pretty much everyone.
That's everyone. Yeah. And like I said, our home is a place where everyone's welcome. You can be a believer, a non-believer. You can, I don't know. Doesn't really matter. If you're looking for community, we want to provide that for people. And the cool thing is when you let God lead those things and guide those things, it happens organically. We've never had to struggle to find community. It's just happened. And a lot of that is because we just submit it to God to bring whoever needs to be here.
Can you give us a cool story, a snippet?
A little example
of that.
We have a lot of friends who are Buddhist with climbers, they really are drawn to like the discipline and the mental strength of Buddhism. And so, you know, we're not shy about our faith or our beliefs or our love for Jesus, but we take time to just hear their stories and what led them to what they believe. And when they realize that we're not trying to just change them, we're just trying to love them and let them experience Jesus through friendship, you just see a little less, there's no animosity. Or even our friends who are, you know, in same-sex relationships, that when we welcome them in our home, because we care about the person, the spirit, the soul, the whole body. Like when they realize that, like they're seen as individuals and people and created in the image of God, like you just see these walls come down, and you see people starting to rethink, man, what is the love of God? I love being loved like this.
Right.
I love being treated for my humanity and my uniqueness and all, you know, when I look at people, that's what I see in God. And, you know, for us, it's specifically people in the climbing community, but, Eric, I think you said it once that you prayed specifically that God would bring us people. And we've just seen that so much as like people sit in our homes and just say, man, I feel like I'm enough. I feel like who I am is enough. For me, that's just the best thing we can do, is that when people come in our home, they experience that. Because that's how I think God sees us. Like, I don't need you to change. I don't need you to be perfect. I just want you to know you're enough for me. And people get to experience that aspect of God when they experience us.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good, Betsy. Wow. Oh my goodness. It is so good. I just had, I was out climbing ice recently, and don't even get me started about this ice season. Dean, have you dried all of your tears yet from this ice season?
No.
Is it possible to dry all of our tears from this ice season?
No.
Did you guys have like no ice?
There's no redemption.
There's no, season. No, I am. Yeah. Oof. Just got done. I climbed ice on two occasions.
He betrayed me.
I Dude, I felt so bad. Oh, I'm going to start crying. I felt, oh man. Oh, help me, Jeebus.
We didn't Ice Fest. Parts of it got shut down because we didn't have ice.
So did it entirely get shut down?
Here's the
shutting down ice.
Yeah. I heard the clink.
So I got up to Montana and for the second time, Dean and I and a couple others went up the first time, did some ice climbing, had a great time.
Birthday trip.
Yes, for Dean's birthday trip and in January. And then just went up again, had an awesome time. Did a wedding up there for some folks in Climbers for Christ and just really enjoyed it. Oh my gosh, beautiful. And got on some ice. And what brought all this to my mind was what you were saying just about welcoming people and them experiencing love. And one of my, the climbing partner I took with, or that went with me, he had a friend who does mountaineering and wanted to get into ice climbing and never experienced it before.
He was our first podcast.
Yes. Thank you. That's right. Frosty. Frosty. Yep, Frosty, yeah. Our podcast. Yep. He went with, and he had a friend from mountaineering stuff that had never ice climbed formally like that. And so we took him out, and Betsy, you would have thought that he was reborn. And it wasn't, so Berto, if you're listening, you were awesome to climb with, but it wasn't, I don't even think because the ice was so stellar, which it was, or that the sun was so gorgeous, and it was -1 when we left the car, and we were going to go to a spot that's like notoriously shady, and we were like, screw that, we're headed over to the sunshiny area, which we did, and it was practically hot. So, but we went over there, but he was reborn because we simply just gave him from our hearts and taught him what we know about ice and just gave him time and space to be himself, to fully come as he was, and just have a great day and fun. And we just gave away what we knew and who we were. And it was crazy weird how easy it was and how beautifully and fully received. It was a God thing. It was so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And so
what Justin,
yeah, go ahead.
It's what Justin and Betsy are doing.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. Just
inviting people in.
Yes.
Living life, sharing.
Yes.
Sharing passions.
Yeah. And making a safe landing pad for folks to come in and share space, share community, mm-hmm. and be together. Yeah. So good. Oh my God.
And it's great. And it's amazing how blessed you get in return.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
Our climbing friends are relationships we couldn't even have thought to even pray for. And, you know, even people who don't share our faith and stuff like that. Some of those people have been there for Justin and I,
right?
Through some of our hardest moments because they're with us day in and day out. They can recognize when Justin and I are off.
Yeah.
And
oh my goodness.
When things are, and those people have always been the first ones to be like, can we sit down and talk? How can we support you guys? Do you need us to take your kids so you can go have a fight? You know, we knew 5 years ago that God was telling us to really get back into the climbing community. What we didn't realize is how much we needed that community.
Oh man.
Just as much as they needed us.
Yeah.
And it, you know, a lot of times we can get so commission focused, but realizing too that like our marriage, our family, everything is so much stronger because of the people that God's brought into our lives and vice versa. And it's been such a beautiful journey with these people that we just get to do life with.
It kind of sounds like you've relinquished yourself to the Holy Spirit and been taken for a ride.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's perfect.
Taken on a climb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally.
Cool. So tell us about your family, your climbing and family, and how that all, you know, inviting people in. What's that mean from your family point of view?
Well, Justin and I actually met climbing. And it was a long time ago. I was just climbing at a rock wall and we met. We were friends for years, decided we were such good friends, we could probably just get married. We did, had kids, stopped for a while just because I had a special needs son. And then Justin and I had this moment where we were just struggling to find where we fit, because no matter where we go, we struggled to find community, didn't feel like we fit in. And so we just prayed and asked the Holy Spirit, where do we go? And such a clear, distinct direction to get back into the climbing community, go back there. And for Justin and I, that's the one thing that, like, it was very nostalgic for us because that's how we met. That's where our relationship started. So we just started climbing for us. And my son was stable. We had another kid and we really wanted to be like that family of climbers.
Yeah.
So we just slowly got back into it. And naturally those friendships started to form. We started having people over, and then someone told me about Climbers for Christ. And we got connected through them and then ended up building these amazing relationships through there. And so for us, climbing isn't just a hobby. It's just our life. Our kids love it. We love it. We've never pushed it on our kids. It's always been their choice. Yeah. But they love the climbing trips. They love going to the gym. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk about moving out west and they get really excited about living in mountains. And
yeah.
So for us, it's, we know that this is our nation. This is our commission. These are the people that God has called us to reach. And seeing our kids now get excited about it and being a part, them even connecting to the climbing community because they love our friends.
Yeah.
But for Justin and I, like, we just have that total peace that, man, this is where God has called us to live our life with these people together, because it's, you know, kind of been the foundation. Our whole relationship has, you know, started on, and that God has kind of circled us back around to.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
So good. Do you have any favorite experiences on the rock, or specifically
maybe a couple's epic? any epics?
Any couples epics or couples stories about climbing?
Not that Justin would want me to share publicly.
That you can share.
We don't have one of those little bleep buttons, so you got.
Yeah.
So Justin and I, we tag team climbing. We don't go on trips a lot.
Uh-huh.
Just because there's one parent always home with the kid. Yes. But the one time we did go, he was climbing an overhang. And so, you know, I was belaying and he was, you know, clipped to my rope. But I said, hey, when you come down, because I know he's going to jump, I was like, just, I don't feel like going for a ride. Make sure to unclip that. And all of a sudden I hear, oh, no. And he said it was like a slow motion drag as he just watched my body get dragged over this cliff. And he's like, I never do that. But we talked about, it ended up being this really good conversation about, like, it is such a different mental game when you climb with your partner.
Yeah.
Oh,
it is.
So different. Like, the anxiety is different. The fear is different. And Justin and I climb so differently. He is such a hard boy climber and I am very soft. And so, like, when we climb together, even the communication piece is hard. So we found that, like, this is really good for us because I can be struggling on something that he can't fathom having a hard time on.
Yeah.
And so we always talk about, like, that communication piece, like, it either really helps us or really hinders us. But we still enjoy being out there with each other. And that's kind of why we like, you know, the annual conferences and stuff, because it's time where we get to be together and climb and learn like that communication piece. Another really amazing climbing experience was I took a clinic out in Chattanooga. I'm a very fearful climber. I am terrified of falling. And so I took a clinic out in Chattanooga, and it was like the coolest thing to get to work through like that mindset. And you literally just spent a whole day practicing taking falls and working through the mental aspect.
Was that Warrior's Way?
It was. It was with Arno. Thanks, Bryce. Bryce hooked me up with that one.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
Bryce is on one. He's a on a podcast.
Which Bryce? What?
Bryce
Mahoney.
Yeah.
Bryce, yeah.
You up with that?
Bryce. Yeah. He knows Arno, and so he set me up with him, and we took some friends out and took the clinic.
What? Okay. So how come everybody else has cool people that they know, and I'm like stuck here with?
We might be too big a project.
Well, I can tell you straight up. Arno,
but you guys are our cool people.
Arno's like hard pass.
we were talking about climbing as a couple, how it's so different. So have you given a climbing command and Justin's like, what? And then your reply is like, I said it clearly.
Are you going to husband or wife?
Yeah. A lot of time is like, you know, Justin would free solo. He's just so comfortable. So a lot of time he's like, I don't need you to, if I ever take, he's like, why? You know? And I'm like, because I'm scared or I'm pumped. And so he's just like, you know, I don't really need you to take out a lot of slack. And for me, I'm like, okay, like, can you hold me a little tighter? And he's just like, no, why? That doesn't help you. I go, it doesn't hurt me.
Yeah.
But it's helped us with communication, where it's just like, hey, let me understand what's going in your mind. Okay.
Yeah.
If you're afraid, what can we do to work on that? And and we've climbed in the gym a lot together. And so he's gotten really good of like, hey, can you help me understand what's going through your mind so I can better give you the support you need? We took the lead class together, which was really fun.
Nice.
And, you know, having to take big falls together. Yeah. He's like, do you trust me to catch you? I was like, I don't know. We're going to find out.
Right.
That's a real thing.
And he's like, I love whips. I'm just going to, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, can you let me know before, you know, you skip like two clips and then, you know, so I can give you a soft catch and, you know, different conversations like that. And it's definitely helped with our communication and how we speak to each other as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
Oh, man. Okay. So any other thoughts on your spiritual life? What you've talked about Jesus and everything. Are you Christian or what is your faith background?
So I actually grew up a pastor's kid. Pentecostal, the whole big show. Very thankful for my Christian upbringing. I just believe in Jesus. I really sometimes struggle with the term Christian because of some of the connotations it has, but I follow Christ. I love his word. I love theology, have a minor in theology.
Right on.
Love understanding Bible and culture and context. And I guess for me, it's just, I love simple faith. I just love the words of Jesus and the Bible and obeying it and just trying to live it out.
Yeah. Oh,
that's cool.
That is cool. That's
so work. What do you, a thought came to mind. What do you see for you and Justin, your family, and climbing in 2024?
Yeah.
It's really cool that you asked it, because it's something like I was praying about the past few weeks, is we want to be faithful to the people that God's entrusted us with to, you know, I like to use that term nation when I think of like, you know, when God says, like, I'm sending you to the nations. For us, that's climbers. And for me, I just want to be faithful to the people here in our community, to, you know, be loyal to the friendships that we've developed, and, you know, to continue to serve the people that we get an opportunity to live with and do life with. And for us right now, that's Michigan, and just being present and being there for people when they need us, and in return, letting them be there for us when we need them.
Right. That's interesting that you say that. I think sometimes for me, like as a person of faith or as a follower of the way of Jesus, it's really easy for me to arrogantly think that I've got it all dialed in and I'm all that, and I don't need to lean on others. And in the last several years, one of my recurring understandings is that I cannot do me on my own. And and it's really important to let people speak into my life. Everybody speak into my life, whether they are people of that think the same way I do or not, whether they have the same lifestyle I do or not, because God will use any and everything to speak to me when it's right and good for me to hear, and when it's right and good for God to say something, and I need to be listening. And there's just, the learning is just waiting. If I simply open my ears and have ears to hear, and if I open my eyes and have eyes to see.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's been a reoccurring theme of understanding for me, that it's just the entire world, all of creation, is this imbued presence of the power of God waiting to speak if I will simply listen, and waiting to present itself if I would simply see. Yeah.
And sometimes climbing environment, being on the side of a cliff is, that's like the best place.
It is. It just takes everything off.
Right.
That any pretense, like, you know, if a person's going to have any pretense about them, it will entirely be stripped from them and taken away in the midst of a stressful climb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That reminds me of like my sniveling baby horrible experience there on epinephrine. Oh my God, whatever pitch that was, like pitch 6 or something. Oh, help me, Jesus. That was one of the embarrassing, humbling, and awesome experiences. That'll be in a different podcast.
Do you have a trip planned? Climbing trip this year?
I am, yes, in end of April. I'm meeting up. Actually, one of my friends from here, Jax, is getting married. So we're doing a bachelorette party to the red.
Nice. Oh,
that's cool.
So we're going to go climb with a bunch of girlfriends, and it's just going to be fun.
Nice. Did I meet, I met Jax in Tennessee.
You did. Yeah.
Yes. I remember Jax.
Yes.
So good.
So she's been my climbing buddy for like a year and a half. And so, we're going to do one last trip, not the last trip, but like, you know, before she gets married. And we have like, it's great because some of the CFC ladies that she's met throughout the years are going to meet us out there. And as friends from home. So it'll just be a fun, girls trips are so much fun.
That's what I thought.
I've enjoyed them.
Here's the girls trips.
We'll be there. Send us the dates.
JK.
The rule for us is you got to wear a crop top.
I can totally rock a crop top.
That's no problem.
Crop tops. Crop tops are Dean's jam. I didn't mean to say that.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day.
So good. Sun's out, crop top's out.
Yes.
There you go.
So tell us about like your most proud send. It could be anything from beginning to end, but what's your most proud send, or like, you know, your most
climbing accomplishment?
Biggest, like most proud climbing accomplishment.
I think I have two. I think one of them is, so obviously climbing in the red, we don't get that vertical. So I think like the first time I climbed over 100 feet.
In the red, you're more like upside down half the time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. We got some, it's either upside down or sharp. But I think like the first time it was when we were out in Red Rocks and we just got a high climb and it was like that feeling of I have never been this high.
Nice.
And I did it. I wasn't scared. And it just felt good. Like it felt natural, yeah. But like that accomplishment of doing something you've never done before.
Yep.
And then my second one was my first time rappelling. We had done a multi-pitch and we were able to rappel down to the first pitch and then hike out. And I'd never rappelled before. And I was just like, or it had been a while. It was my first time rappelling outside.
Hard, yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if I can go over the ledge.
Yeah.
And it's all those moments of like, you know what? I'm fine. And we had climbed up a crack. So it's not like you can just bounce down. Yeah. So I had an amazing friend who was so gracious with me as he's like talking me through this because he really wanted me to learn the process.
Yeah.
And it took me a minute to get over that ledge and then I was fine. I just flew the rest of the way down. It was great. But I think those moments when you just feel like, I don't know if I can do this. And then you have to decide I'm strong enough, I'm brave enough, and I'm capable enough has just been great, especially being someone who's a bigger climber. I'm not, I don't look like your typical climber. And so realizing like, I am capable, I am strong, and I can do this. It's just some of those like life-changing moments where you just really get to see yourself for who you are and not.
That is so good.
It's good.
That's super good.
Do you have a, you know, biggest climbing failure, biggest learning experience?
Yeah, learning experience or failure. Yeah, something that's like did not go right or it went like, several things I want to say, like it went and then .. All the things I'm thinking of are like inappropriate to put on the podcast.
So I was climbing outside and I was going to do a lead and I typically follow just because I don't get many chances to lead outside. So outside I'll follow and clean. Uh-huh. But I wanted to lead. And so I did one route and I was super psyched and then came down and remembering I was gonna go lead a route and my friend said, hey, just remember, I don't need you to finish. I just need you to do to where you feel accomplished. And it was a super easy route, like a 5-6. And I was like, I got this. And I think I got to the third bolt and I was like, I don't know that I can go any further. Yeah. And I'm having like this mental failure. Like I can't come down on such an easy route. Yeah. But I knew like mentally I was done. Physically I was over gripping. So like I was going to blow the rest of my trip if I didn't call it.
Yeah.
So I just felt like such a failure. And I got to the bottom and my friend can just see it in my face. Like I'm a failure. I'm not a climber, all these reasons. And she's like, man, you did 1.5 things that you've never done outside before. Yeah. Like, look at all you accomplished. You led for the first time. You got so much practice cleaning. And, you know, and this was like maybe my second or third trip outside.
Oh, wow.
And she was like, you know, you really have to change your mindset of, you know, completion is finishing. She's like, you did things. You did your best and you listened to your body. And so like, even though like I failed to complete something that was super simple, learning like a redefining success, which was echoed a lot when we did the Rock Warriors Way training, just success is when you do everything that your body is capable of doing or telling you it's doing. And, so for me, I was like, okay, I still feel like a failure, but I know like that's not accurate. And then, you know, having to work through those processes and then being able to go back and then maybe climb a harder grade or follow a harder grade and yeah, really redefining my relationship with success and failure.
Oh man, it is hard climbing outside for the first time or leading the first time. All the any first in the vertical world is so, like, so many obstacles to overcome, so much mental stuff to overcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gosh. So big.
Kind of like life. Yeah, it is. Sometimes we learn the most when we struggle the most, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not interested in any of that conversation. Yeah, I'm not interested in any of that. No. You can just have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Cool. So what do you have any suggestions or ideas that you could throw out there for people that are, you know, similar, maybe they're
similar life station, yeah, or like family way, or
they're in a climbing, you know, local gym, climbing community, and how to kind of start building those, that community,
yeah,
without, you know, coming across weird, or, you know, just kind of a natural way into that.
Yeah. Do you have any good suggestions of how to get people who call themselves followers of Christ out of their head and into their heart and body so they can start functioning as such?
I think a lot of it is just be present in your community and look at people through the lens of love. When you read, you know, the Bible and the first, you know, the love chapters, like, is that how I'm responding to people with patience and kindness? I think a lot of it too is humility. Like,
oh man,
my opinion of you actually isn't as important as I think it is. What is important is, what's God's opinion of you? How does God love these people? Oh, and gosh, how can I communicate that to them?
Oh my gosh, that's, we should just record.
That's truth.
We should simply just loop
that.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's loop that and just put it into every church this Sunday with a sermon.
Or just headphones.
Oh, just headphones on my head. I can start living that. I've done moments of times of contemplation and consideration of the words of St. Paul to the Corinthians about what love is. And for example, like, love is kind. And then I thought, okay, in what ways am I kind throughout the day? Are there ways that I haven't been kind? What does that look like when I'm not kind? And, you know, what are the limits of kindness? And just kind of do all these thought exercises and then begin to, implement them. Like, okay, I'm going to now copy Jesus, imitate him in kindness. And what does that look like?
That looks like not running the guy into the ditch.
No kidding. That looks like, okay, like this morning. So one of my things with driving has been, like, you know, bring the temperature down there, bring the temperature down on the road, right? So that means, like, instead of racing up in front of the local public transit bus that drives like freaking maniac.
Yeah, they do.
They do. They drive like crazy people.
They'll run you over.
They will run you over and off the road. And I can't blame them. But instead of, like, racing up to get in front of them, slowing down and get behind them.
Yeah.
You know, just those simple little things.
Yeah.
And it's the practice of it. And then if I start translating that to people that I'm actually then in physical presence with, and not just like alienated in a car, boy, it becomes interestingly challenging. And you think, this is just about being kind. How come this is so hard?
Like when you're cragging at a busy crag.
Oh my gosh.
Like, offer your rope as a top rope, or
offer your rope, right?
You know, offer to
offer a belay.
Offer to trail theirs up if you want to, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Because sometimes set them up the top rope.
Or right. Because sometimes there's people that maybe aren't climbing as hard, but they'd like to get on it and TR it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh man.
Yeah, I know.
It's so simple. It's kind of simple.
It's
kind of a bummer how hard it is to miss sometimes.
It is. Or how I get in my own head and my own space, and I just want to do my own thing. I'm not out there to, you know, this is so classic. I'm not out there to serve people.
They're climb.
Really? Right? Maybe I will just climb hard and climb harder.
Yeah.
Instead of climb hard and love harder. Eek.
Yeah. The patience aspect can get very, very challenging.
Oh man.
Isn't that script? There's some scripture that says that Jesus came not to be belayed, but to belay others.
Yes.
Blessed are the belayers, because they shall inherit the world. Oh, that's good. We should reinterpret the words of Jesus into counting talk.
That would sell.
Good t-shirts.
Oh my gosh, those would be great.
How many t-shirts times would the word stoke be present?
Oh, many times. Stoke and dude.
Yeah.
When you see the dude in the ditch.
When you see the dude in the ditch. When you see the dude who's fallen out and in the ditch. Oh my gosh, that's so good. You know, you knew that we were going to holler at you and talk and kind of get some of your story. Is there something that we haven't asked, or maybe something like, you know, I really hope they ask this question, or I really need to answer this, or, you know, share this part of me. Do you have anything like that? We would love to hear the parts that's in your heart that we haven't gotten to.
Nah, man, I think you guys really covered the core of like who we are and the way we love people, I guess. Yeah. Just getting to share that, like, and what that looks like. And you talked about like people who are trying to find ways to build community or starting up. And we talked about the loving people, but a lot of it is just be present, uh-huh. be consistent, show yeah. up and let things happen organically. I think a lot of times what happens is people feel like they have to force relationships and they have to do this. But, you know, that's my favorite part of faith, is that the Holy Spirit will do that work for me. As long as I'm consistent and I'm steady, like, those relationships will happen organically. And food, never underestimate the power of food, whether it's bringing donuts to your local gym, having people over to your house, like, people will always congregate around food.
Yeah. Yeah. That is so real, yes, you know, and that's that right there. Talk about imitating Jesus. It's like so much of what he did mm-hmm. was around things he was partaking in. Mm-hmm. Food, water, wine, bread, oil, these elemental factors, just simple, basic stuff. Mm-hmm. So good. I think if Jesus had lived in Seattle, it would be like just about every parable would have coffee involved.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if Jesus, he lived in Michigan, it would be beer. If he lived in my city, it would be beer.
If he lived just about anywhere now.
Yeah. I live in the beer capital of the country.
You do right now?
Mm-hmm. Grand Rapids. We have more microbreweries than anywhere else in the country.
Really? We need to go out there. We need to make a little trip.
Yeah.
Michigan Ice Fest, here we go.
Michigan Ice Fest, here we come.
So, there you go.
Okay, so we'll just kind of wrap this up a little bit, Betsy. Do you have a favorite? Now, I'm not saying that you use them all the time, but what is your favorite pack animal? Your favorite pack animal or means of getting your stuff to the crag?
Yeah, and if you don't have one, like, yeah. and you had a bunch of money.
Yeah, and you had a bunch of money.
Which one would you
choose? Or borrow or steal?
I don't know. I've never thought about this.
Well, think about it.
Maybe a potbelly pig.
A potbelly pig. And your children are entirely appropriate.
I was honestly going to say, like, does my husband count?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Because he's done it for me.
Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, in Red Rocks, I was so freaked out doing all the scrambling down that he carried all my gear for me.
Oh, I know. What did you climb in Red Rocks when you were there?
We climbed at Cannibal a lot, but that was, we went up and Justin learned trad there.
Cannibal. Oh, Cannibal Crag.
Then we climbed all over the loop, but our last day, Justin went and wanted to go learn trad. And I can't remember the name of the place, but the approach was not what I was used to.
Yeah.
And so I can't remember the name off the top of my head, maybe something Wolf. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's in Calico Basin.
Calico Basin. Oh
yeah.
Was that Fox in that,
it's over near the
Cat in the Hat.
No, it's Calico and Cannibal Crag, and then that multi-pitch, that It's like three pitches.
Is that yeah. Right?
Have I been yeah. there?
I don't. I've never climbed it, but you I see people on it all the time.
Oh, is it? And it's a tread line.
Yeah.
I've climbed it. I don't even know.
It's near that.
Yeah.
The Fox. But
yeah.
Cool. Across from Cowlick.
Okay. Okay. So, So your husband is your favorite pack animal.
Yeah.
Thanks, Justin.
Yeah.
Justin, if you're listening.
Filthy animal.
You filthy animal. And then, what is your favorite?
Your favorite after climb, after exertion.
Yeah.
Beverage or snack or both.
Yeah.
I love a good beer and like beer and pizza.
Sounds good.
That sounds so good. Yeah. Have you ever taken like pizza or anything like unconventional up on a crag with you up on a climb?
I've taken a burrito, like a really messy, huge, wet burrito.
Oh.
or like sometimes we'll go to Miguel's and they have like these ridiculously greasy bagel sandwiches and we'll like pack them in. So like everything is slightly covered in grease.
Oh yeah, Miguel's is the best.
Oh yeah.
I've had some good memories from Miguel's. So I have taken up, where we live, we have a lot of Hispanic, Latino influence. I've taken tamales with me in the corn wrapper because it's like everything, if I lose the corn wrapper, everything's entirely biodegradable. And it's just, and it's perfect cold. It works just really well. And I just kind of pull out this tamale, this tamale from my pack. I'm like, what the? And I was like, hey, you know, when you live here, you live here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever you can get.
So when are you coming out to the West Coast?
Yeah. When you come out here, Betsy?
Well, we're going to Colorado in October. Then that might be as close as we get. And trying to convince Kristen to go out to Washington with me.
Oh,
very good. She hasn't responded yet.
Or Idaho Mountain Festival in August.
Or Idaho Mountain Festival in August.
Ooh.
Festival in August.
That's not a bad idea.
And then apparently the CFC annual thingy is in Arkansas.
Yes.
Okay, to all of our Arkansas brethren, our deepest apologies and sympathies, sisters. And our brethren and sisterin.
Yes, yeah, we're sorry. I have really bad sinuses, and they're just kicking in.
Everybody out here is recovering from some type of coronavirus cough, so you're in team.
That's our weather is like winter, summer, spring, winter, summer, spring. Yeah. So like my allergies is like we're going, we're not, we're going, we're not.
So do you have we're going to close up here. Could you give an encouraging word to any folks who are in a life station where they have kids? Maybe they don't think they're like the best or biggest or most powerful climber in the world doing like, you know, the 50 classics of North America kind of thing.
Sending 517.
Or they're not sending 517 or 18. 517 D. Do you have a word of encouragement for them that, you know, that they may need to hear right now?
Everybody type, everybody in season in life. If you climb, you're a climber and you belong in that community, just as the person sending 12s, as a person just starting. We're all on our own journey and enjoy it. And don't ever compare yourself to anyone else because your journey is just as beautiful as anyone else's. And
that
no matter what season of life you're in, you still belong there. Oh, because climbing is a community for everybody.
Good.
I'm receiving that.
I am too. Yes, you should receive that.
I receive it.
Yes. Oh, that is so good. Thank you, Betsy.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much for spending time with us and sharing your heart and giving us all your secrets and all that stuff.
Yep. Now the world will know.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having me.
Oh, my goodness. You bet. And thank you so much for all the behind the scenes things you do with Commerce for Christ. You are incredible. Yes. And deeply grateful.
I'll second that.
Yeah. My pleasure.
All right. We'll see you at the Crag.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Blessings.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.
I hope you enjoyed it.
I did.
I did too.
Every single time.
Every one of them. I'm getting over this dang Ronavi cough. Okay, show of hands. How many people have had Ronavi? Thank you. I see those hands. All of them.
Two hands up from my part.
Yep. All right. You guys, we love you. And
love you.
Listen in again next time.
And go love on your climbing community.
Yes, and spur them on to love and good works.
And loving yourself.
Good love. Thank you. Love, good works, and loving yourself. All right. See you later.
Ciao.